This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Audible.com has over 100,000 titles to choose from in all your favorite genres, and they're ready to download to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. To start your trial today, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Alfred Conaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by Big Nasty Alfred Conaway and the one and only Marcus Vanderberg. Fellas, how are you doing this week?
Doing fine. Got done with another tour of Vegas.
Another one.
I can't leave Vegas.
Any stories?
Maybe you could get it out of me.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Come on. What more do we need to do?
Are we in late night mode?
We are.
For full disclosure, this is on the East Coast. It is 4:23 in the morning. Out west is 1:23, and I am. This show is not sponsored by Busch Ice Premium Beer Lager, 5.9 ounces, 16 ounces, the pint, if you will. But it is. It's not sponsored by Busch Ice, but it is certainly going to be powered by Busch Ice for the next hour or so.
Well, if we're going to talk about beer, then I don't want to incriminate myself, so I may or may not have been at the Luxor Hotel. And they have this Jabberwockies bar. You guys know the Jabberwockies, that dance band that's from America's...
They got their own bar? Room.
Yeah. They have their own bar, their own theater. Show. Yeah, yeah. I hear it's really good.
It's
I
a love good show, actually.
Yeah, and so it's called the Jabbar. You get it? You know, the Jabberwockies bar, Jabbar.
Mm-hmm. And they forgot... They have to pay Kareem for some of that?
I don't know. They should. But, you know, the bar is the bar part is italicized, so maybe that's a trademark-type stylistic thing to where they can get away with it. But... I don't know if they forgot to close the bar. I don't know if this is how they usually run their stuff, but it was completely open. And we were there, or we might have been there at like 4 o'clock in the morning. We were coming back. Completely open. Tap was completely open. You can go to any bar from Bud Light to Bush, like you're saying. And they had these large cups, and we may or may not have indulged at the end of the night.
So nobody was working the bar at this point?
Nobody was there. There was not one single person.
So you hopped over the bar and filled up your own cup?
I may or may not have done that. Yeah, wow. Cup plural, you know, cups. They have them like that. I mean, I'm talking back and forth. Maybe they had somebody there, but they were wearing a mask and they couldn't really see through it.
Is it too early to start looking for a new co-host, Marcus?
Mind you, he did this in a city that probably has the most security cameras out of anywhere in the country. So they probably saw your black ass doing this.
How are they going to get me? How are they going to do? They don't know. They can't come over and touch this. And I'm saying that I may or may not have. I didn't say I did it. I said that I may or I may not have gone over there and indulged.
How many times?
I lost count.
If
I was to put a number on it, and it was pretty late, it was pretty hazy, I don't really remember specifics from that portion, but I did it enough times to where I gambled a lot of money, a lot more than I should have, on roulette. I mean, I put a whole lot of money on black, and it ended up going in my favor, but that could have been a nightmare.
So you hopped the bar, filled up your cups for free, allegedly... And you thinking that with all these security cameras, like Marcus mentioned, you're gonna be safe in case this might go to some judicial proceedings. And as we've seen in the last month or so, sometimes the law does not take the most favorable outcomes when it comes to a black defendants, or not even defendants, but black litigants in the case.
You guys actually think they're going to track me down And
there was a shooting. There was a shooting last night in Vegas, at, right next door at the Excalibur. So maybe they're looking for you.
Why is it that every time I leave somewhere, because I was at the Luxor, and that's right next to the Excalibur. Mm-hmm. And then last week I was in Venice, and as I was leaving both these places, there was some kind of shooting. I think maybe they found me doing these things, and they're trying to get me.
Stand for Connecticut.
They're coming for you.
We almost got you.
God damn it.
Next week, Big Nasty.
We puzzle for it.
So on Sunday, when we go to SummerSlam, we should watch out when we step outside, because
yeah, Marcus, I'll be walking like in front of you, or you know, behind you, wherever you can guard a bullet. You know, you can take a couple shots, right? Yeah, a couple shots to the chest won't hurt.
Nah, you're supposed to be the diesel of this operation. I'm supposed to be Shawn Michaels. You know, you're the muscle of this operation.
I don't know about that. I'll need some bulletproof vests.
And getting back to the Jabberwocky's bar though, that's got to be the most annoying bar ever. Because you asking a bartender for a drink, maybe some Hennessy, maybe some Coronas. I don't know what your drink of choice is. Whatever your drink of choice is, you're like, hey, can I get two? And then the bartender come up in the mask and the black hoodie. He's like, they ain't saying nothing. They just dancing. You like, does that mean it's a double? Or you don't know what to tip them? It seems like a very convoluted establishment. But, we've been doing this podcast for like 5 minutes. I ain't even breached on sports. So I'll continue the theme and just give the people a little bit of information about my particular weekend. It was my birthday.
Happy birthday,
brother. Yeah. One year closer to the grave.
And 40.
Yes. And it was cool. It was cool. You know, I worked pretty much my whole birthday weekend, but this week is, I'm going to make up for it. I already started with, as I mentioned before, the delicious Busch Ices that I am partaking in right now after an 8-hour shift at work. And then on Thursday, I will be at the Norfolk Scope, not the Norfolk Scope, the Ted Costa Center in Norfolk, or as they pronounced it on TNA, Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Yeah, I will be attending Hardcore Justice. And so I think we're going to do a special show on Friday once I recover from the wrestling and the beverages enjoyed at the wrestling and talk about my experience at that and do our ringside rap, because we really ain't going to do that tonight, listeners out there. Full disclosure, this is like a freestyle show. So I know some of y'all enjoy our shows when it's like this, and some of y'all like the more structured shows. So, you know, if you like the freestyle show, you're going to get that in spades tonight or this morning, whenever you're listening to it.
Who doesn't like a good freestyle?
Nobody picked Alfred up on that joke at all.
Nope.
You guys don't like a good freestyle?
No, I do. I heard a great one tonight, the Kendrick Lamar track that that leaked, or not leaked, but premiered on the radio. You should check that out. It's Kendrick, Big Sean, and Jay Electronica.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, what is up with Jay Electronica, man? When is he going?
He hasn't been practicing rapping, because he was the weak link on this track, but Kendrick killed it, though. There's a lot of buzz tonight on Twitter about his lyrics, and he was sort of taking shots at other rappers, and you should look it out. Yeah, look it up.
New or old.
Current guys.
Good. Yeah, you go, Kendrick. Yeah, you should be doing that.
Man, I was a fan of Jay Electronica, and especially, what was it, Exhibit C?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that track was off the chain, and then my man, like, he, I don't know what it is.
It's that Badu, man. That Badu comes over you and just zaps you.
Like, somebody, I think it was Neil Brennan, who was the co-creator of the Dave Chappelle Show, and I said that all proper. I didn't say Chappelle Show. The Dave Chappelle Show.
The Dave Chappelle television program.
Yes, which was a sketch comedy program that aired on Comedy Central for 2.5 seasons. Neil Brennan on his podcast, The Champs. You should check that out after you check this out. He was talking about, like, man, the curse of black geniuses and how super creative black cats almost always end up going crazy.
Is that just a black? It can't just be a – I mean, maybe
– I mean, geniuses in general go crazy, yeah, crazy. But I think when you add the – especially with men, when you add the added volatile elements of being a black man and a genius – It often leads to, you know, Richard Pryor set himself on fire, trying to get higher. What? I got my own freestyle.
Everybody loves a good freestyle. I'm telling you.
Bam. We came full circle. So let's get into sports, because I know there's some people out there that's like, yo, these dudes been talking for 10 minutes, and I ain't heard not a one word about A-Rod. But you know what? You ain't going to hear this week. Not on this show. I'm kind of A-Rodded out. Even though he did hit a home run, I'm done with A-Rod for at least this week. But we will start with somebody that one of the Kings emphatically endorsed last week. And fortunately for his sake, I'm not going to edit the clip in because it is too late. And tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to be too lazy to do it. But Tiger Woods, man. Tiger Woods, y'all. After his dominating performance at Bridgestone, he came out in the Players Championship, a championship he should have won. It's like, you the player of all players. You getting all these girls from the Waffle House to Bennigan's to Ruby Tuesdays.
Perkins.
I said Merkins. That's a whole other type of game right there. But Tiger Woods, man, to me, Marcus hit me up during the tournament. Like, it might have been Saturday. Marcus was like, yep. And that's all he had to say. And I was like, yeah, Tiger. Like, I still have the firm belief that he can still win majors, and I believe next year's majors field is lined up better for him in terms of the course layout. But there's just something, and it's not – I don't even think it's physical at this point. I think it's still in between his ears that once he steps on that big stage, once he's in a major, he can't quite put everything together, and we saw that this past weekend. Marcus, like I said, I know you were like the first one of the three of us on that, so – what did you think of Tiger's performance and, you know, the Players' Championship as a whole?
Typical Tiger for the last 5 years or so. I mean, it's pretty much what he's done outside of the Masters, which usually is able to finish, you know, top five, top ten. But, I mean, to finish four over, tied for 40th, this isn't what, you know, we expected. This wasn't what Alfred expected. Alfred was expecting big things this weekend, and Tiger Woods shit the bed again.
I just said one of the Kings. I didn't point nobody out.
Now, I'm gonna point him out.
Marcus is putting me on blast.
Marcus over there putting people on Front Street. Yeah.
What happened to your boy, Alfred?
See, now let me tell you, Tiger Woods has had a good year by his standards. No, because he hasn't won a major. But any golfer in the game right now, not named Tiger Woods, would take the year he's had with 5 tournament wins, and not just these rinky-dink tournaments. Bridgestone is a legit tournament. You know, and Tiger Woods, it is mental. It has to be mental. He's in the best shape of any golfer out there. He's built like an NFL player. He's got these arms, and he's able to drive the ball. But when it comes to being at a major, there's just something that's disconnected. It's a disconnect. It's too much of a pattern for us to not make that correlation that when Tiger shows up on a major stage, there's just something mentally that wasn't there before. But he'll shake it off. He's Tiger Woods.
I mean, we've been saying this for 5 years now. When is he going to stretch it off, though? Alfred is now speechless over this Tiger Woods news.
Yeah, man. Alfred's like, shh. But to me, man, I think Tiger is a guy that has to have that kind of killer instinct. You're like, Tiger has to smell blood in the water to really perform to his full potential. And, you know, we haven't seen that from Tiger. You know, I do think that he'll have some success next year. And like Alfred said, you know, this is a good year by any stretch of the imagination for any other golfer. But correct. For Tiger Woods, he expects more, you know, and he's not, you know, he's not getting that performance. You know, I think it's time for him to go back to the lab, tweak some things, and, you know, maybe he can get one tournament, one major win next year. But in terms of catching Jack or even surpassing Jack, I was one of the Tiger diehards. I was a Tiger zealot. And now I'm kind of like, Yeah, I don't know, brother.
Are you off the bandwagon? Is this what this is?
I'm not saying I'm off the Tiger bandwagon because, honestly, Tiger is still one of the few, if only, golfers out there that can attract mainstream attention, that can get anybody in the country to tune into golf on a Saturday or a Sunday. But in terms of, like we said last week, he's 3 wins away from tying Sam Snead for the all-time wins list. He's one of the 1 or 2 greatest golfers to ever step on the greens. But in terms of surpassing Jack, in terms of that part of his legacy, I am a little bit more skeptical now. I think he'll get 2 more, maybe 3, but I do not see him tying or surpassing Jack.
I could see that. And, Nate, you mentioned how Tiger needs to go back to the lab. That might be part of his problem, this paralysis by analysis, because after he had that subpar end to his first round, there were reports of him calling his caddy out of the booth when his caddy was doing analysis and having an emergency session to where they were just going to go out there and work on his short game, work on his long game. And maybe it was just too much of Tiger Woods putting in this mental type analysis to his game to where it crippled him.
You mentioned the 5 wins. If you take out the majors, he's been in 8 events. Not counting the majors, he's been in 8 events. He's won 5 of them this year. So that's a positive. He had 3 wins last year. He had no wins in 2011. So he's making steps in the right direction. So maybe next year is the year. He's just trying to still figure out things. But, you know, the longer we wait here, the older he gets, and the more you wonder if he can actually do it. But at the same time, we saw Phil win a major at 43. We saw Jim Furyk in contention this weekend at age 43. So he's not too old, but at the same time, he's starting to get up there.
And yeah, why are people making this such an age and physical type deal as if, like, Tiger Woods is on the verge of being, like, 40 years old in the NFL or something like that? Did you see the guy who won the PGA Championship, Jason Duffner? He's like a baby John Daly.
Yeah, but Tiger Woods is an old 37. Much like Kobe Bryant is an old 35, I mean, Tiger's body has been through a lot. So, you know, we're not looking, you know, we're comparing this guy. Yeah, he's 37 on paper, but, you know, physically, what is he? You know, he's not 37. He's probably closer to 45 at this point.
And again, shout out to, you know, speaking as a young 36, shout out to all the ladies out there. Holla at your boy. I mean, honestly, though, I think our female listenership consists of my mom, my sister, Marcus's boo occasionally, and our boy.
There are a couple of cougars in there that I've maybe talked about.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Really?
I work a little bit from all the show to the Cougars. How do you think I get in with these Cougars? Is that it? Just once I say I'm a king of the kings of sport associated with you guys, they just go crazy.
Really?
Honestly, full disclosure, I'll say, yeah, one of my, you know, I work with the guy from Yahoo, and so thank you, Marcus. Everybody knows Yahoo.
Yeah, he's like, I work with a guy from Yahoo and some dude that does podcasts once a week.
They know the Fight Network and all that.
Oh, but, by the way, we're talking about females on the Facebook page, or we are now. I'm looking at the demographics here. 82% of our fans are male. 18% are women, and probably of that 18%, probably 15% is family of some sort.
Yeah.
So
we it's a small pool to dip your toe into.
Yeah, we're struggling here for females.
Yeah. So share this. Basically, what we're saying is share this podcast with your female friends out there, so brother Nate and brother Alfred can find some love.
By the way,
we need a total divas for this show, like the Wags or the Women in Our Life have a show, and that just kind of feeds into our podcast.
Oh, boy. One other note. So, you know, United States is number one in terms of number of fans. Number two, United Kingdom. We have 35 fans in the UK on our Facebook page.
Right. Shout out to the UK.
More than Canada. I'm disappointed in you, Canada. I love you, Canada.
How many fans do we have in Canada?
34.
Really? Because, I mean, the Canada, our Canadian fans are strong on the in terms of posts. But I guess it's first place.
You cut out there. What was the last part you said?
That's why I left y'all in the first place.
Oh, okay. India.
No bitterness.
India with 9. Algeria with 3.
Big up Algeria.
Algeria, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Africa. Ireland 3, Australia 3, Malaysia 2, Nigeria 2.
Uh oh.
Two from Nigeria?
The Kanawa clan?
Yeah. Is that your family? Alfred?
No. See, I'm Liberian. With all due respect to Nigerians, they confuse us all the time. Everybody confuses Liberians and Nigerians. Liberians are the ones who will not take your wallet. Nigerians are the ones who will
take
your wallet. That's the difference. That
We have two Nigerian listeners.
Hey, two listeners in Nigeria, you hear that? Liberia is zero on this list, so.
Add your social security cards. We got two Nigerians listening to the show.
Wow, shots fired. This is what happens at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I think I know the two Nigerians who listen to the show, too. Emo.
Wow. I'm surprised you don't date more Liberian girls, though, because that would be like an easy pickup line. Like you come in singing that Michael Jackson song, Liberian girl. Yeah. And that's what I would do, but.
You know what's funny about Liberian women? Anytime you ask them about that song, they think that he wrote it for them. Because they're so rare in America that it's like, oh, he wrote that song for me. It's like, oh, did he now?
All right, so let's try to get back on track. Whatever track we're running on right now. Which is a great pickup line for black men out there. Hey, girl, you used to run track, didn't you? NFL preseason, big stories coming out. Quarterback, quote-unquote, controversy in Philly, the city of brotherly love, even though Riley Cooper's got no love for the brothers. Michael Vick, Nick Foles. Alfred seems to think this is all just a coaching ploy, a coaching tactic by Chip Kelly. Marcus, do you think there's more behind this than just Chip Kelly trying to motivate Michael Vick?
I think there has to be, even though Nick Foles really doesn't fit in with Chip Kelly's offense. I mean, why would you play this out? We're talking about a guy who's been in the league now for, 10-plus years. He's been the starting quarterback in Philadelphia for probably going on 4 or 5 years now. So it just seems like there must be something that Chip Kelly has seen either in Michael Vick or Nick Foles and sort of his promise that is causing him to string this along.
There is nothing being strung along. This is all smoke and mirrors. If you go and read the Philadelphia local beat writers, they will all say the same thing. That's really where you get to know the... Guarantee you there was talks about, okay, when you're in the NFL, what kind of things you do? And Bill Belichick gave Chip Kelly some of his advice as to how to screw with the media so that people can have... or so that Chip Kelly can have a competitive advantage over his opponents.
Yeah, man. And I am kind of with Alfred in the sense that with this offense, with this locker room in this city, if you go with Nick Foles over Mike Vick, to me, that says either one, Mike Vick is just terrible and abysmal. And from what we've seen in the preseason, he looked fairly sharp. And granted, this is preseason. But for that offense, I would much rather have Mike Vick than Nick Foles in that situation, especially for Chip Kelly. Let's be real with it. Michael Vick or Nick Foles are not going to be his long-term solution at the quarterback position. These are Andy Reid's dudes. These are guys that he inherited. He's going to want to go into the draft next year and pick his own person out. I would suggest maybe somebody that plays under center at Clemson for that Philly offense. But I digress. You know, I think Michael Vick is the guy you got to go with. Like you said, he's got the experience. He's got the ear of that locker room. And Nick Foles, I mean, Michael Vick, to me, his only detriment is his injury status. You know, he is not the most durable quarterback, and it's almost guaranteed. If you want to have the best chance to win in Philly, I think you got to go with Mike Vick.
He'll be hurt by week 3, so this is all a mute point.
See, I mean, you stop hating, man.
Week 3!
Why do you? You've seen the quarterbacks Philadelphia. They have Dennis Dixon. They have Matt Barkley. They're just loading up for protection for Michael Vick here.
I mean, he's gonna get hurt, but I'm not gonna say it's like week 3. I think Mike Vick is gonna get hurt somewhere during the midpoint of the season, and then return with 3 games left when the Eagles have really nothing left to play for.
Yeah, This is like snuff radio. I'm not going to participate in this. Michael Vick gets hurt. Well, that's bad juju.
That's something a Nigerian would do.
Wow. You guys are better than that.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to talk about this. This is how we're going to end off segment one, how we're going to end off the A block. Adam Jones, y'all. Man, Adam Jones, outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles. Marcus, I'm going to need you to break this down for the people. Some folks out there might not have heard. I mean, with all the hype and hoopla of the great NFL preseason, I'm going to need you to let people know what's going down with Brother Jones and his issues with fruit.
Yeah. Baltimore Orioles center fielder Adam Jones, all-star Adam Jones, was playing in San Francisco over the weekend, and a fan tossed a banana in his direction at AT&T Park on Sunday. And Jones didn't really address this until after the game on Twitter, and he said, quote, "I want to thank whatever slapped it threw that banana towards me, towards my direction in the center field in the last inning. Way to show your class, you jackass." And then, you know, 2 hours later, he sort of followed that tweet up with him saying, "I love how some people are defending the actions by someone today. Shows how you really are also all good with me. I just hashtag stay hungry." So, you know, the conversations here of a banana being tossed at African American players, nothing new. This has happened before. Probably most recently was Wayne Simmons. Remember the Philadelphia Flyers? It happened in Ontario during an exhibition game. And the fan came forward today. The guy claims he wasn't throwing it at Adam Jones. He was disgusted at the Giants' play. He grabbed the banana and chucked it on the field in disgust and didn't even realize what he was doing. I call bullshit on that, but that's a convenient story for him. So, you know, he apologized to Adam Jones. Not directly, I don't think, just over through the media. And Jones has said he's moving on from the incident. But it's one of those things that, you know, it's unfortunate that stuff like this still happens in 2013.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate for baseball because it's been so long since we've heard bad press for baseball.
What, 2 days?
Boom. Boom.
Oh, no, I was being asked to listen.
Oh. No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
Oh. Oh, man, this is where it gets silly right here. We ain't even got out of segment one. But yeah, man, to me, the excuse is preposterous. And, you know, somebody told me one time that there's a big difference between an explanation and an excuse. And this is 100% excuse. It's idiotic. It leaves the player in a position where it's a no-win situation. You know what I mean? Like, if Adam Jones kind of takes this in stride and he's the bigger man, then to a segment of the fan base, it's like, you a punk, man. You just let this dude punk you. But if he gets irate and angry about what this fan did, then it's like, oh, why are you lashing out at the fans, Adam Jones? You should be above that. So it's a no-win situation for the player. It's a stupid move by the fan, and it's like, come on, man. It's 2013. Let's grow up, people.
Yeah, between this and the Jackie Robinson statue that was defamed in New York, it's just been one of those weeks, like, what's going on in baseball?
Yeah, it's weird. It kind of makes me think when I look at how it's covered, is this happened in San Francisco, so it seems like they're isolating the person who did it, and it's not really people coming down on San Francisco saying, oh, they're classless Giants fans and this and that, because they're from such a diverse area. I just wonder if it happened maybe in Houston, happened somewhere more rural, what people would be saying, even in Milwaukee, if it happened there, whether or not people would be coming down on the franchise or the fan itself, because I've rarely heard anybody really come down on the San Francisco Giants organization.
Of course not. They're all liberals in San Francisco. I thought you heard.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Is it's more of a liberal area. People are going to be easier on them when I don't know if we should just give them a pass.
Yeah, I don't hold it against the Giants organization. And I hate the Giants as a Dodger fan. But I don't hold this against the organization itself. I just think it was just one isolated fan and one isolated incident.
Yeah, that's what I would think no matter what the situation is. I'm just saying the way the media would cover this, if it was in a different park, they would probably vilify, you know, the quote-unquote rednecks if it happened in a certain area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but this is an, like I said, it's one isolated ignorant fan. And like my man Donny Osmond used to say, and you can tell the Bush ice is kicking in when I'm claiming Donny Osmond as one of my homeboys. One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. That's, you know, you can't let the actions of one ignorant fan turn you against the city. And, you know, like you said, San Francisco is extremely liberal. Like, I'd argue it's one of the two or three most liberal places in the country. And so, you know, for something like this to happen there, it's a bad look for the city. It's kind of a bad look on, for the team, even though they had nothing to do with it. And, you know, it's like you said, this is nonsense. I don't know what – there's something culturally that is behind this. And, again, this is maybe something that we can't even really talk about this right now, but maybe for a future show. There's something culturally that's going on. It's like, on the one hand, race relations has improved so much, but on the other hand, there's still this simmering cauldron of prejudice that seems to have been reignited by the election of Barack Obama. You know what I'm saying? And it's like a lot of people use that as an excuse to like, oh, you got everything right now. You got a black president. Why don't you just shut up and you know, move along with the rest of the country? And it's like there's still a lot of things that are fundamentally wrong. And it's a discussion that people need to have, and you know, I don't even want to get real political or philosophical at 5 o'clock in the morning because that's not what I'm about. I'm not about that life, but we will have that discussion on a future date. So,
and just to touch on that, I was at the Orange County Fair on Friday, and I took a photo of this guy. This guy is wearing a shirt, and on the
yes,
back,
yes, I saw that on your Facebook page.
It said "White Pride Worldwide." And I was stunned because the guy didn't even look white. He looked more Hispanic than white. And I'm just like, this is the stuff you wear in public? I mean, it's just people are real bold these days. And I think that's, you know, I'd rather have my racism in my face than as opposed to someone who keeps to themselves and you don't suspect. So, you know, I'd rather have someone just say, put it out there. Hey, look, you know, this is what I'm about. You know, leave me be. As opposed to someone who's gonna smile on my face and pretend that, you know, they're about, you know, what I'm about and everything. So yeah, it's been interesting.
That's why I've always appreciated the South, man. You know what I'm saying? I was born in Atlanta, lived in Virginia most of my life, and I've always appreciated the South because like if you're gonna be racist to my face. I went to school up north and it was some undercover type of stuff, you know, but down south it's like, hey, Paula Deen, call me a nigga just as long as you give me seconds on the mashed potatoes.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons that I was defending Paula Deen is because there's that brand of racism where it's just in your face and it's just blatant. And it's like, well, at least you're being honest with me. And then there's the other one where they're essentially whispering the N-word and you know, like a Rush Limbaugh brand of racism to where he's able to broadcast racism to millions upon millions upon millions of listeners around the world. And as long as he just doesn't say that N-word, then he's technically not a racist, which is
yeah, but these are topics that are bigger than the time we have allotted for this week, so we will definitely get into that at some point in the future. Especially we'd like to get your feedback on this stuff, man, just because it's a fascinating topic. So we'll get into that, but for right now we're gonna close up on segment one and get ready for segment four. I know you're like, huh? 1 and 4? That don't even go together. But we'll explain it in segment four. So we're going to come back to close up the show. We got more Kings of Sport coming up right after this.
Like that. Let's rock. We've always said the Kings of Sport was the best podcast around, but now the reviews are in and the people have spoken. Here's what you had to say about the show. This is a sports podcast for the people, by the people. There are no old guys talking about the good old days. These are brothers that are connected to what's going on now. They bring you the latest information as well as comparing current events to historical ones. If there is one sports podcast that you need to listen to, make it this one. This is a very good show with three brilliant co-hosts who keep it real. Younger guys with great minds for sports. They have differing opinions and back it up with facts and figures. Always entertaining and an enjoyable listen. I am down with the Kings. The Kings of Sport is the best thing going on the internet. These guys rock. Give them a listen. You won't be disappointed. So there you have it. But you don't have to take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Listen to the Kings of Sport and make up your own mind. We guarantee we're the best show around. Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, the evolution of sports talk. I'm a head, I'm a man, I'm the first mammal to wear pants, yeah. I'm at peace with my lust, I can kill cause in God I trust, yeah. It's evolution, baby.
This is sports reporter extraordinaire Morgan Campbell of the Toronto Star. I was planted on this planet and I plan to MC because I'm down with the Kings. Like Daryl Mack. Look it up.
Yo, this is Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe and you're listening to King of Sport. Keep tuning in. You know you're going to get something good.
And we are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop. With segment four, we do this each and every week. We bring you the hottest stories, the hottest topics from the world of sports and entertainment. Before we do that, though, we got to take care of some business, fellas. Even at 5:05 in the morning, we got to take care of business. And it is a pleasure to be in business with Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks, and they have over 100,000 titles to choose from in every genre, including thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, sports, and many, many more. Audible titles play on your iPhone, your Kindle, your Android, your Zoom, shout out to Bill Gates and Dennis Black and Asian, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And for you guys, the listeners of the Kings of Sport podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And they've got some great titles, like we mentioned each and every week, The Hobbit, The Witness, Gone Girl, Bad Luck and Trouble, Last Season by Phil Jackson, and my current favorite, The War for Late Night by Bill Carter. Now, to download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport for your free audiobook. And again, audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. They're down with us. You guys are down with us. So get down with audible.com. So that's one piece of business taken care of. Second piece of business, for those of you that follow us on Twitter, at KOSPOD, KOS_POD, about a week or so ago, you saw a tweet for an August 12th warning. And first of all, that was a wishful thinking, because by the time you're hearing this, it's probably, what, August 14th?
No, it's the 13th still.
It's still 13th? Okay. We're not that bad on CPT. But it's probably Marcus that's keeping us from being full CPT.
The light skin.
The light skin is keeping us somewhat on track. But we talked about a August 12th warning. For those of you that listen to the Law Podcast with our good friends John Pollock and Wei Ting on Review and Impact, I promoted an interview that we're going to have with a national wrestling star. And I'm sure you're sitting here like, I listened to the first segment and this is the last segment, but I didn't hear no interview. What's up with that? Well, what is up with that is we had some issues with Skype. Some scheduling things came up, and unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do the interview this week. That being said, we are still looking forward to talking to this individual. We think this individual has a lot of interesting takes on the current state of the world of professional wrestling. And, you know, we look forward to bringing it to you in the past. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it this week, but we will bring that special guest to you sometime, hopefully in the very near future.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
All right.
But we should tell them about Friday's show.
Yes, we do have a make good, as they say in the industry, the podcast industry, which I don't really have a lot. Like, I'm 22 weeks into the podcast industry, so I guess that's what they say. Anyway, Make Good is a Friday podcast. Since we didn't have our special guest, since we didn't have the Ringside Rap this week, I know some of y'all out there, a lot of people that listen to this show are wrestling fans, and you're like, yo, where's our wrestling fix? And you know what? We got to get the people what they want. We got to get the people what they need, and you guys want wrestling talk, and we're going to give it to you, just not tonight, just not today. We're going to give it to you on Friday with a very special edition of the Kings of Sport podcast. And it'll be myself, Marcus, and Alfred on the night after TNA's Hardcore Justice. I don't know if it's 2, 3, 4, 5. It's one of them Hardcore Justices coming to you on Spike TV. And I'm promoting this just because maybe you might see me in the front row on the show. Spike TV this Thursday, 9 o'clock, coming to you from Norfolk, Virginia at the Ted Costa Conversation Center. I said conversation. It's the
Vacation?
Convocation, yeah. I mean, you can have a conversation at the Convocation Center. Keep in mind, folks, this show is being brought to you, sponsored in part by Busch Ice. But, yeah, we will have a show on Friday. We might have some guests on that show. It might just be the three of us kind of going over Impact as well as WWE news from the week. So it's
going to be SummerSlam.
And SummerSlam. And speaking of SummerSlam, somebody – one of the three kings is going to be involved with some interesting things coming up. And since one of the three kings also has a terrible relationship with the people in Stamford, Connecticut, I'm guessing it ain't going to be Alfred.
They love me in Stamford.
I was surprised I could go, actually. I was a little worried.
They were like, hold on, Vanderbilt. You on that podcast with that African dude.
Yeah, I'm still ready when I go tomorrow. But I
they're gonna greet you at the gate like Mutombo. No, no, no. No SummerSlam for you.
Yeah, so, but yeah. I am attending the SummerSlam press conference tomorrow, and actually 9 hours from now. And out here in Beverly Hills, and hoping to get some one-on-one time with some of the WWE wrestlers.
Sweet.
All right.
We will be bringing that to you, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We ain't making no promises.
No, I think we can get something. We'll get someone. Even if it's like Eva Marie, we'll get someone on the show.
Yeah. He's like, hey, we got the exclusive interview with 1.5 Funkadactyls coming up. I don't. we're going to get an exclusive interview with Vinny. Tell us about how he almost fought Brodus Clay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, but yeah. So I am actually looking forward to that SummerSlam. You know, I was actually planning to head out there, but with Bound for Glory also taking place in California, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna save my money for this TNA show, and we could do it big in October and have some fun out there. I think we're gonna do a live. We're gonna try to do a live podcast. Not technically live, but live in terms of the three of us will be in the same room and probably drinking some Busch Ices, or maybe we'll do it from we'll fly out after Bound for Glory. We'll go to Vegas and go to Club Jabbar and Alfred will hop over the counter and keep filling our cups up, and we'll record a podcast. And
all this, of course, may or may not happen.
And two out of the three of us will go to jail because of like one of these things is not like the other. Marcus would be like, y'all gone. Like, damn, homie.
Actually, you're light skinned. You have a future.
I have an idea for Friday. Maybe we should do a Doodle Hangout on Friday's show.
Yeah, we might do that. Because Google, yeah.
I think it might be easier. If I did interviews on my phone, it might be easier for me to play it through Google as opposed to trying to upload it on my computer and do it that way and do it in post.
That's not a bad idea. Like, I do really like Google Hangout. And full disclosure for you people out there, the Kings of Sport does have a YouTube page. But unfortunately, like, there's only a couple videos up there. But I do want to start incorporating some of the Google Hangout stuff and posting it to YouTube and making the show more interactive for you listeners out there. So once the summer kind of passes and we get really settled into the fall and my work schedule kind of, you know, gets to a place where I can kind of know when my hours are, I'll definitely start incorporating that more into the show. And we will work that out. So I am looking forward to Marcus's interview. And Friday will be a fun show. And even if we don't, we might not get an interview, but I think if we're going to do a hangout on Google, I know some people. I know some people that know some people on the Google Hangout. So we might get a little bit more rowdy than we usually get. And I might have to make a call out to Houston, Texas.
Uh-oh.
No promises, but I might have to make a call out to H-Town.
The bomber. Actually, yes. What's your work schedule like on Sunday?
Yet? On Sunday, I think I close Sunday. So, yeah, I think I close Sunday.
So I was going to say, we could probably do something Sunday, because Albert's going to be – well, I think we're planning on going to SummerSlam on Sunday, but if you're working, then there's no need to do something after the show. What time are you off on Sunday?
I'll probably get off around the same time I got off tonight.
Oh, yeah, then never mind.
Yeah.
It's a Friday show.
Yeah, Friday show, everybody. And half of the people listening to this is unemployed. Like, look at these motherfuckers. They out here humble bragging about their work schedules.
Humble bragging. I like that one.
It's all good, though, y'all. I was unemployed up until 3 weeks ago, so I feel your pain. I've been down in the struggle. But let's, like I said, man, this show is freestyle. We free-flown. We wanted to give you guys some content tonight. Again, we apologize for not having a guest. We apologize for the kind of the way the schedule has been this week. But once the fall hits and football season kicks off, we should have a much better flow than these last few weeks of the summer. But I did want to end things off since you guys did put your time in, contributed to the list. I did want to end things off with the list this week. And our topic, for those of you that listened last week in segment 4, not only did you hear about Aaron Hernandez, not only did you hear about the greatest manager in the history of independent league baseball, Isaac Canseco, but we also talked about the Atlanta Braves winning streak that was recently snapped. And they started that winning streak, kind of culminated with the opening of their Waffle House in Turner Field. And I just came up with a topic off the spot because I'm good like that. That's what I do. 36, mine still sharp as a tack. For now, we'll see in about 5 minutes when I get another couple more of these ices in me.
Mind you, 10 minutes ago, he was trying to come up with this this next idea that he's trying to spit right now. It took him forever to come up with it, so that's how sharp it is.
Hey, wow, you put me on for A2 Brute?
I'm just saying.
You got to keep him honest.
I'm just saying. Wow. We do it to Alfred. We have to do it to you.
that should be our slogan. Like, if this show ever becomes like a syndicated radio program, be like, welcome to the Kings of Sport, keeping it real radio. We don't hide nothing.
I like that. Keeping it
warts
real
and all. This radio show is like chitlins. Like, it's delicious, but we also put everything into it, and we show you everything.
We don't smell bad though.
No, we don't. We don't. We smell like yams, but that's mostly Alfred.
Yeah, it's coming out of my pores right now.
now that you've got your appetite wet, folks out there. The list, again, coinciding with the Braves opening the Waffle House and Turner Field, the question was, what restaurant would you open in your favorite franchise's stadium? Last week, I believe Alfred chose McDonald's for Yankee Stadium because the Yankees are the McDonald's of baseball. I believe Marcus chose In-N-Out for the L.A. Dodgers. And I chose Rubio's Fish Tacos for the Miami Marlins. But we want to hear what you guys have to think about this topic. I got one more for this week, but I will let Alfred go to the feedback on Facebook, and you can leave feedback each and every week for the list at facebook.com/kingsofsport. Alfred, go to the feedback and let us know what the people had to say.
Well, let's start it off with Ross Comstock. Well, down here we have the Corpus Christi Hooks, a AA affiliate of the Houston Astros. In the 50s, Whataburger opened up in Corpus.
Oh,
so it's only appropriate that the baseball field built by Nolan Ryan should be named Whataburger Field, and of course contains a full-service Whataburger restaurant, Pizza Hut, and paying $5 for a hamburger. The other vendors, a kid's meal, some munchies for mom and dad, plus a couple of beers, and you're still out of the door for less than $15.
Yes.
Dennis and Frazier, Dennis Black and Asian, whose profile picture is in black and white. I put a TGI Fridays in the Met City Field. The food is outrageously overpriced and terrible, but at least you can drink yourself into oblivion to get over the disappointment. Very nicely paired. And then Jack Pisco, friend of the show. I put Hell's Kitchen in an arena. Long wait times might never even be served. An English guy will yell at you to sit your ass down when you complain. Unfortunately, I'm not a sports guy, so you guys got to help me with the stadium/arena bit.
That was quality feedback. Again, you can leave feedback each and every week. Facebook.com/KingsOfSport. And, of course, on Twitter, at Cospod, KOS_POD. Did you guys have any more answers to the list?
Well, you built yours up so well. I don't think I have anything that could top it. So I'm just curious to hear what you have to say.
Okay. You yield the floor to the distinguished gentleman from Newport News, Virginia.
Why not?
My answer, I'm going to go to the NFL. We all love football in America. Some would argue that it is the true national pastime. And so I think it's about time that we took one of America's favorite restaurants and added it to one of America's least favorite football teams. It's synergy. I'm going to put a Chick-fil-A inside the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. Is it still Alltel Stadium?
I don't think it's Alltel anymore.
I don't think so.
There should be no-tell the way they
I think it's just Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium now. No, no,
that's a new one. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, somebody will give us. We'll start a fact-checking thread like John Pollock. Everbank Field. That sounds so terrible. So, yeah, I'm going to put a Chick-fil-A in Everbank Field for the Jacksonville Jaguars fans. Not only do you get great, delicious chicken sandwiches, great customer service, great sides, but much like the Jacksonville Jaguars, Chick-fil-A employees don't work on Sundays either.
Oof.
Boom. Wow. Shots fired. Holla at your boy, Blaine Gabbert.
Did you see the Blaine Gabbert music video?
No. What happened with that?
Slow motion?
It's a ripoff of Hogan's theme song.
Really?
Yeah, someone created a whole music montage.
Because he's a blonde?
Yeah, that's probably the only comparison between Hogan and Blaine Gabbert. But yeah, they did a whole video, and the guy, you know, took Hogan's theme song and made it his own. And it's on Deadspin. It's pretty bad. It's pretty funny, but pretty bad.
Well, Nate, you celebrated a birthday. Hogan turned 60 this past week.
Yeah, so. Somebody brought that to my attention on Twitter, and it was like the man that loves TNA shares the same birthday with the man that may ultimately kill TNA.
Ultimately, it's a matter of time. Come on. We didn't discuss this whole 5-on-5 match that they're postponing to the second part. I don't know. The second part of the taping on Thursday? What's the point of that? What sense does that make?
I mean,
friendly, mate.
I mean, you got one of your main event stars pulling the Amy Winehouse. They tried to make him go to rehab, but he said yes.
My only theory is that they're gonna shoot an Angel in the first part of the taping that explains why Angel can't wrestle in the second half of the show. Otherwise, right. It makes no sense.
To me, it's like I am under the assumption, and you know what assumptions do, and assuming anything with TNA is a fool's mission. But I would assume that we get the explanation in the first show. I would assume that, you know, because Kurt, it would make no sense for Kurt to come back that soon if he's going to rehab. If you're going to rehab, you got to put
they don't let you out. You can't just show up and take road trips.
What's that like the Lindsay Lohan where you could check yourself in and check yourself out?
Yeah, and NBC, like how that worked out for her.
Yeah, the passages. Shout out to passages for anybody out there in rehab. Hey, just take it one step at a time, y'all. But yeah, to me, it's like it makes no sense to bring Kurt back that quick. So obviously, like, why would you make the rematch that soon? You know, unless Kurt, like, it makes no sense whatsoever, and it makes even less sense to put it on Twitter. And then I think the next thing Dixie did was make a tables match to try to cover up for it, and had each of the four participants in the table match send out a tweet saying how excited they were about being in this tables match that came together an hour before.
A tables match and a tornado tag knockouts match.
You know, I don't want to turn this into TNA's going out of business, but it's types of organizational problems like this that really should be a point of concern. Not even from a booking standpoint as to whether or not it makes sense from a logical standpoint, but if you're looking at organization and the top of the organization from Dixie Carter on down is just a complete mess, that's when I would be scared as a TNA fan.
I'm saying, why y'all trying to bring me down at 5:30 in the morning, yo?
By the way, just to gauge the people's reaction to this news on Twitter. So, two people responded directly to her about this tweet. The first one says, fuck off. The second one says, just use the bald guy on the ring crew. No one will notice. So, I don't think people care at this point about this match.
Yeah, John Pollock said they should use Eric Angle. Just put him in them 7-Eleven sunglasses Kurt been wearing.
Nobody will know.
I kind of like those sunglasses, though. People been hating on them. It's like they got some – he got the USA, the American flag, stunner shades. I'm like, it kind of works. I ain't mad at them. Is it just me?
Yeah, it's just you.
There's gimmick. I mean, I'm not going to hate on it, but I don't love it.
You know, what we do love is doing this program, doing this podcast that we bring to the people each and every week. And, you know, I think it's time to wrap it up because it is getting very early or very late, depending on your perspective. And like I said, man, if some people out there like these kind of stream of consciousness, random podcasts, we usually try to be a little bit more structured. Yes, a little bit more professional, if you will, than this. But, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's always a good thing. Good times talking with my boys, Marcus and Alfred. And for those of you that have seen my blog recently about my birthday, man, this is something that's been positive. I had a lot of ups and downs last year, you know, my last year of life. I don't even that sounds very ominous.
It does.
Yeah, my last year.
My last year of life. And that'd be so messed up if this was the last thing I ever did. Like, as soon as I not only like Marcus would have to edit it.
Yeah, that was tough.
You'd have to get the guy that who is it, Agnew or Pollock, that always does the rest in peace at the beginning of the law? Pollock. This edition of the Kings of Sport is dedicated to the memory of Nate Milton. And he had to play a clip. Yeah. So but nah, this is fun, man. It's cool, and you know, it's been something that has not only been a great experience, but it's also been something that has been a wonderful thing for my mental state, my mental health, and just enjoying stuff, man. And you know, anytime you get something that makes you happy in life, man, go for it and do it 100%. Like, last thing I'm gonna leave y'all with, my buddy Ronnie, I used to play in a band with, and he was like, if you do something in life, two out of three things have to work in order for it to be something you're passionate about. You either got to be making good money, you either got to be doing something you love or you got to like the people you're doing it with. And since we ain't making nonsense up in this venture here.
Negative money.
Yeah, we in the negatives.
It's an investment.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I love talking about sports, and you know what I'm saying? I really appreciate, you know what I'm saying, the chemistry and the camaraderie that me and Marcus and Alfred have formed. So this is something cool. We're going to keep doing it. Hopefully we bring it to you a little bit earlier so I'm not going to sleep at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's a good thing I'm single now. Because somebody would really hate for me to be up this late talking to two dudes. Be like, yeah, who are you talking to, Nathaniel? I'm talking to Jake from State Farm. Really? Jake?
Well, she sounds horrible.
he's a dude. So with that, we go end the show this week. But before we get out of here, Marcus, let the people know how they can follow you, how they can check out your work, get the inside scoop on some of these hot interviews you're going to be working on. Let the people know where they can reach you at.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at MarcoWill, MarcoWill. You can check out my photos of CM Punk, because I'm sure I'll snap a photo of two of Mr. Punk and not of the Divas, because, you know, I like Punk.
Because wrestling fans are weird like that.
Well, Trinity, though, is packing, so maybe her. Maybe her. I took one last year, and I felt guilty as my girlfriend was like, what is this photo? But... yeah, she's talented in the bad side. So good job, Uso.
Big Nasty, if you are not incarcerated next week by the good people at Jabbar, let the people know where they can find you.
Follow me at Free Nasty. No, at This Is Nasty. Follow me at This Is Nasty. Follow me, Marcus. You know, you always follow ladies. A great follow. But me, I'm going to be all over Twitter this weekend with the whole SummerSlam stuff going down. So there'll be a lot of cool stuff for you guys. Also, Hulk Hogan's birthday bash tomorrow on WWE WTF. It should be a lot of fun. And guys, we have a lot of good guests on the deck. Okay, we're not going to get too much into it, but we do have a handful of very good guests coming up, and somebody who we've tried to talk to for a while now has actually reached out to us. So we've got a lot of good stuff to come.
And by the way, we'll give you the SummerSlam details on Friday, but we will be attending.
Yes, we'll be live in attendance.
I don't know how many local listeners we have, but we'll be easy to find. We'll be at the Yard House probably, so.
Yeah, come through, Candy.
Yeah, KME. Who else out there in LA?
It's a good question.
LA fans, stand up.
My favorite wrestling columnist will be in town. So if I run into him, I'll start some beef.
Vince Russo?
No, Art O'Cal.
Oh yeah. Again, Marcus and Alfred aren't too hard to find. You'll just see be like one dark skinned cat, one light skinned cat.
Look for the black guys who shower. That'll be us.
Look for the dark skinned cat in the suit.
Without the championship belts around our waist, because there's a lot of that going on in pay per views.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah, you'll have better luck looking for the guys who don't wear those, because, man, that guy is all over the place. Yeah.
I will have to tell you guys, remind me, I'm going to write it down, but remind me when we do the show on Friday. I'm going to let you guys know about the story of this cat that has been to the bar at the last two WrestleManias I've been to with his championship belt, because it is, wrestling fans, we love you, but sometimes it's like, I can't. I just can't. So, you can follow me on Twitter, @8 MOZAIK at Nate Mosaic. Big up to everybody on Facebook and Twitter that hit me off with birthday love, man. I appreciate that. And you can follow all of us on Twitter at KOSPOD, KOS_POD. And that is going to bring a close to this show. Again, this stream of consciousness show, this Kings of Sport After Dark for the ladies. Like, we totally should have had like the ladies man music playing. If I was up on my production skills, be like, taking all female callers, all 3% of them. Be like, Rochelle in Liberia, you on with the Kings of Sport. But check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. And again, we apologize for the kind of miscommunication with the guests, but we're going to make it up to you. So come back, tune in Friday for the big post-hardcore justice show. And we going to have some more fun. So, for Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, fans, thanks.